You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Saturday, June 7th, and I haven't done one of these for months. I'm going to tell you why and sort of what's been going on, but maybe I'll start with some playing. This is my current version of the Nouvelle Etude number 1. So I'm coming back to the piano after being away from it for a couple of months, and here is why. Last fall, my arms started hurting, and there's so much sorrow and fear and shame about that, and I felt like I was dealing with enough that I couldn't sort of talk about it here. But I didn't feel like I could sort of do this podcast without being honest about it, so I stopped doing it for a while. So it turns out that I actually had a gigantic and benign, everything is fine, fibroid tumor pressing up against the lower base of my spine. And I had surgery at the end of March, complete hysterectomy, took out all of my lady part innards. I have no filter at the moment, by the way. And that has been kind of an incredible journey. It's clear to me that some of the arm trouble came from this giant growth pressing up against my spine. But it's also clear that some of it comes from not using myself well and from other tensions in my life. So I'm doing a lot of processing. I really faced my mortality. I really thought that I might die. I thought that I might, kick off on the operating table. I wasn't terribly worried about that, but it does happen. And so I looked at it, and I really thought that I might be about to go through 2 years of chemo and basically death, because it sounded like if it was going to be cancer, it was probably incurable. So I really kind of looked at my life. What if I have 4 days left? What if I have 2 years left? What if I have 40 years left? And I'm going to be unpacking that for a while. Another piece of that is the way that I found out about the tumor was at Thanksgiving, I went for drinks with a friend of mine and kind of confessed for the first time that my arms were hurting. And he said, "Jocelyn, you have to go to the doctor." So I went to the doctor and got the dreaded, the dreaded verdict that it was tendonitis. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you're not a professional musician or an aspiring professional musician, I don't know if I can explain to you how scary that word is. There's just a lot that goes with it. And I've never been injured. Like, my whole life, I've never been an injured player. I have worked so much on my physical relationship with the keyboard. My teaching is all about getting my students to understand their physical relationship with the keyboard. I feel like everything about who I am as a musician is about having a comfortable, expressive physical relationship with the keyboard. So this word, tendonitis, really kind of meant to me that I was wrong about everything. And I totally get that it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm wrong about everything, but I also think that this is an important opportunity to look at how I learn and how I work and kind of how I live. Anyway, that was the end of November, and I got the, you know, went to the doctor, got the diagnosis tendonitis, and I freaked out and went to talk to a friend of mine who teaches nutrition in the pre-med department here at my college, at Gettysburg College, and said, tell me what should I eat? What supplements should I take? Tell me what I should do. And he said, well, how scared are you and how serious are you? And I said, very and very. And he said, you're not going to like it. And I said, can I drink coffee? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, tell me what to do. So he basically put me on a diet that's a little bit north of paleo. So it's an anti-inflammatory diet, which basically means that I have eliminated all grains, sugars, processed foods, legumes, dairy protein, and vegetable oils, and nightshades from my diet. So no pasta, no bread, no cereal, no crackers, no chips, no cheese, no milk, no cookies, no sugar, no ice cream, also no eggplant, no tomatoes. And that actually has been surprisingly doable and has felt really good. Mostly what I eat is vegetables and fruit and meat and eggs and butter and cream are fine because they don't have the protein in them. And the way that I found the tumor is that I lost about 20 pounds and suddenly could see this big protuberance in my belly. So that's it's really been quite a journey. So here I am, several months later, and I took time off from practicing because I was flat on my back recovering from surgery, and I'm still recovering. My energy level is mostly up, but I'm definitely not where I was. I've been going to physical therapy for abdominal strength because I have no core strength because my core was sliced open. And my body is really different. I'm about 30 pounds lighter than I'm used to being. And that feels different at the piano in ways I haven't completely worked out yet. Partly because I don't know this new physical self at the keyboard yet. So I'm in this place that to me is really interesting and kind of uncharted, and I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what kind of musician I'm going to end up being. Anyway, so let me tell you about a couple of actually practicing things, because that is what this podcast is ostensibly about. So I'm still doing my ridiculously organized, timed to the minute kind of practice, because I just don't know how to do it any other way. And it's been so funny to see that my concentration span is so small. You know, when I'm kind of in shape practicing, I can practice something for 20 minutes at a time. And now I totally can't. After about 8 minutes, my brain goes lots of other places. So anyway, so I'm doing my like 10 minutes of this, 8 minutes of this, 5 minutes of this. And I'm trying to be really intentional about what and how I practice. So I just want to tell you about a couple of spots I'm looking at. I'm mostly focusing on Opus 25 because I've performed Opus 10 a few times now. Opus 25 is the second big set of 12 etudes. So I'm mostly focusing on Opus 25, and what I'm trying to do in a lot of them is what I've abbreviated HFC, which is hear, feel, channel. So I've got all of these feelings from examining my life and looking at my mortality and all of this stuff, and I feel like the place to put that is into the piano playing, right? So what I'll do some days is I'll take one of the etudes and I'll try and play through it slowly and just try to let myself completely go into the place of what the emotion of the music is without thinking at all about the technical nitty-gritty of it. Now, it happens that these pieces, of course, are full of technical nitty-gritty, so that's a bit of a challenge, but I feel like I'm finding some places in the music that I can put specific moments into, and I think that's going to actually be really useful. I hope that'll be useful for my interpretation. So let me just, I'm not going to walk you through that so much, but I kind of wanted to tell you about it. And then I'm going to walk you through a couple of specific places. So, okay. So 25 number four, this is one that is easy and great, and I feel terrific about it, way under tempo. And as soon as I try to get it up to tempo, I feel like I'm going to die. So this is this one. This is under tempo, by the way. So the thing about that that is really, I think the thing that's hardest about it is that the left hand has all these jumps, right? This is all the left hand. And as you may have noticed from the end of that, it's really easy to play wrong notes. And there's this paradox in there, which is that the more I want to play all the notes right, the tenser my arm gets. And if I can let myself just kind of be sloppy and not care about it, I can often play it without missing them. But boy, is that hard to control. And of course, when you get on stage, you really care a lot about it, right? And this, the thing that's funny about it is that this is something that I deal with in my teaching so much, so much, so much. I feel like my teaching, I feel like a broken record sometimes. Like I'm just saying, care about the music, not the notes. Care about the music, not the notes. Feel your body, care about the music, not the notes. And here I am caring about the notes, and I can, I just care. I want to play that bass line right. It's really frustrating. So one thing that I'm doing is to try to, how do I say this? Okay. So I'm trying to deal with my physical mechanism of my left hand, my left arm, without all of the psychological, like, care, don't care business, right? I'm trying to separate out so that I'm working on one hard thing at a time. So one thing that I've been doing that I think is useful, although I'm not, you know, it's not there yet, but I'm actually putting my right hand on my left collarbone so that I can feel where my arm actually connects to my body, because that's where it is. It's like the very inside of the collarbone is where there's a joint right there. I don't remember what it's called. I don't really care what it's called. Anyway, I'm trying to feel that with my right fingertips and play this and feel that as a place of freedom. So I got it, and then I started being excited that I had it, and I froze. See, you can't separate out the psychological stuff. But my collarbone felt free, so that was kind of nice. Let me try it again. I'm going to try and keep my collarbone free, and I'm going to try to phrase the bass line so that it's interesting. And I'm going to not talk while I do that, so I'm only doing, you know, 10 things at once instead of 50. Okay. Damn it. All right. I was close. All right. So this part, I have to practice. I have to practice it. I think what I'm probably am going to have to do, and I am loath to do this, but this, I think the grinding it out is going to be the way to do it. I think I have to do 4 bars at a time, the tempo I can do it, couple metronome clicks up, couple metronome clicks up, couple metronome clicks up. And then I just have to make it so that I can do larger and larger sections of that. So instead of doing 4 bars at a time, which I mostly can, I need to be able to do 8 bars, 16 bars, the whole thing. Anyway, so that's one spot that I'm looking at for like, you know, 5-10 minutes a day. Another one that I'm looking at is the Black Key. No, not the Black Key. What am I saying? The third Zaytoven, number six. And this one, definitely trying to hear and feel and channel and put clear emotions into clear spots in the piece. And especially kind of enjoying a fluttery feeling of excitement about it. But the thing that is kind of hilarious to me about this one is that I have to practice it with a metronome because, oh my God, when I practice it with a metronome, the metronome does that annoying thing where it keeps getting faster and slower and faster and slower, but I'm playing all the same tempo. Like, my concept of this is that the timing is just completely out to lunch. And that was kind of funny to find out. So, like, the beginning, I tend to play too fast, and then I immediately get too slow, and then there's all these it's just nuts. So, I'm trying to do my hear, feel, channel with the metronome. And I'm actually trying to do that with the metronome a bit under tempo because I can't play it all at tempo. And I should probably tell you what this one is. It's this one. I'm not saying that I have to be able to play it metronomically. I don't think I do. But I think that my current concept of it is so far to, like, just, it's just not even relating to what a steady tempo would be. So I got to work on that. And I think one way to do that is going to be a practice technique that I got from my friend Doug Perkins, who is this amazing percussionist who plays with all of these huge groups like Eighth Blackbird, and I think he might play with Ensemble Signal, and he plays with all of these amazing groups and learns really hard music all the time. And I put out a Facebook query about mental practice strategies, because I think that as I'm coming back to the piano and as I have no core strength, and since I can't practice very much, and since I really want my arms to feel good and not hurt basically ever again, so I got to get serious about mental practice. And so he gave me this fantastic strategy, which I've just played around with a little bit. This has only been the last couple of days. But he said that he likes to walk around his house with his score, using his feet as a metronome, and sing the music. And I think that's what I need to do with this piece. I did that a little bit with the Winter Wind Etude the other day, which I'll tell you about in a second. But I think I need to really do that, and I think I need to sing the bass line, and I think I need to put the bass line in a tempo. And then I can work on the right hand with all of the mess in it. But I'll have this musical conception of the melody and the bass line, which is all in the left hand, that actually makes sense instead of being completely dependent on the places where I need to slow down the right hand. Because I think what has happened is that I have sped up and slowed down based on what I can do with the hard part instead of based on how I want the music to go. So I need to make my decision be how I want the music to go and not just what I can do. And then I need to make what I can do match how I want it to go. All right, Winter Wind Etude. Let me tell you about this one. This one, I did walk around and use my feet as a metronome and look at the score, and I found out that I think maybe this piece doesn't have to be the loudest thing anybody ever heard and feel like a truck. Not to say that everybody else plays it like that, but there are some recordings that are kind of like that. And my tendency has been to sort of feel like I'm yelling and yelling and yelling for 8 pages. But actually, this is this one. His opening dynamic for that, I mean, after the slow intro, is forte. One forte. One loud. Not super loud. Not the loudest you can. Not the loudest you ever played. It's just loud. And then on the second page, he actually has a diminuendo where he tells you to get quieter. And that's the last dynamic marking until he's got like a hairpin somewhere that gets louder in like measure. No. I don't even see it. Anyway, he says to play loud at measure 41. But that's like two pages later. So if we start loud and then we get a little bit quieter and then he tells you to play loud again on measure 41, I think maybe a lot of what's in between that might be a little bit less loud than loud instead of extremely, extremely, extremely loud. So I'm actually going to try and play a couple of pages of this. There's going to be some yelling and some swearing probably up to that place, and try to have that moment where, and the moment where he tells you to get loud is where the left hand takes the impossible notes and the right hand takes the melody. So I just want to see if I can play this for you and see what you think. Well, you can tell me what you think. I would love it if you would tell me what you think about this at being maybe not loud all the time. I'll go from the beginning because it's, I think, kind of beautiful. Oh, I turned two pages. I have it memorized. I shouldn't be looking at the music, but I'll just look at the music. Okay, so that wasn't convincing at all, because I crashed and burned so much. But I think it might be kind of interesting to have the E minor section here on the third page. Maybe a little quieter. I mean, it's exactly the same material as it was on the first page. It's just in a different key. But maybe it doesn't have to be, you know. Like, maybe it doesn't have to yell. This, I think, needs to lead to kind of grow. But here, this is cadencing in the people's key of C major. So maybe it doesn't need to be so huge. And then this can be a contrast. And then this, I think, really, really, really needs to be less. Maybe. Except maybe there's this French horn thing in the left hand. I haven't decided. And then this one. Maybe this one's the last one. Anyway, so I'm kind of thinking about the dynamics, and it was really, really, really fun to think about them away from the keyboard, so without all of these moments of the little notes getting in the way. I think those are mainly the things that I wanted to tell you about. I don't know how often I'm going to be doing these podcasts this summer. I think that I might do them, but I'm not going to make any promises. So let's call this an occasional podcast for now. And that's it. I don't even remember what my sign-off used to be. It's been so long since I've done this. But you can definitely find out more about me this, buddy.